We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
Today is April Fool's. It's a day of laughter. It's a day of jokes. It's a day of pranks. As a kid, it was one of my favorite days because it was the one day of the year I could do something to my older brother and my little sister and not get in trouble unless, of course, well, there was this one time. You know those sprayers on the kitchen sink, right? And I took a rubber band and tied it, wanting Mike to get... Always know before you plan a practical joke on your older brother where your mom is, because you don't want her be the one turning the sink on. That's all I'm saying. One time, it was over. So what I want you to do, I want you to stand for a moment. Stand. And... oh, that's right. You guys are band guys. You don't have to. Brass players are cool. They're just the best. So greet one another. And when you do, I want you to share with each other either the best prank you ever played on somebody or the best prank that was played on you. Go ahead. Take a moment. Okay, go ahead, have a seat. Have a seat. So, we have room for time for like one, maybe two. Does anybody want to share? Wow. Silence. No one wants to share? Oh, what, Virginia? You made a cookie with cotton in the middle? Man, Virginia, I thought you were like the sweet mom. I'm going home. The whole day is ruined. Is that why you brought those cookies for me? I know people have cell phones out and they Google me because they don't believe me. So if you want to Google this, you can. Time Magazine ran a special a few years ago that listed the top 8 pranks of all times played on April Fool's. And there's some really good ones. But my favorite was done by Burger King. Don't put it up yet. Hold. Wait. Wait for it. Wait for it. Surprise. Burger King figured out that they had 1.4 million left-handers visiting them every day. So on April 1st in 1997, they took an ad out in the USA Today paper so that left-handed people would be included and feel loved by Burger King. Any left-handers in here? If you're left-hand, raise your hand. Okay, raise your right hand. Good job. Okay, this is for you. So they took this ad out, and it looks something like this. You can now put it up. And it was introducing the left-handed Whopper. And if, no, you can Google. I can't draw that. This is real stuff. And according to Burger King, they would rotate the toppings and the condiments 180 degrees so that when a left-hander ate it, it would be balanced, right? Now, it would be really not funny, except the next day, Burger King was flooded with right-handers wanting to make sure they got the right-handed Whopper, and left-handers making sure they got the left-handed Whopper, because somewhere the left-hand and the right-hand people who fell for the April Fool's joke forgot that a hamburger is a circle and it doesn't... True story. No, seriously, true story. Now, I know some of you are wondering, it's April Fool's, here we are, we haven't yet talked about either children's sermon, well, me, about Easter, and this is also Resurrection Sunday, and why is he doing this, where is he going, what is up with this? And I'm going to tell you, in the early church, Resurrection Sunday, Easter, it was a celebration, it was fun, and in fact, one of the early church fathers, a guy by the name of Augustine, he said this. He said, God played a practical joke on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. The resurrection was God's supreme joke on sin and death. I mean, this is what they looked at it like. They would never take church as seriously as we do, especially on Easter. There was another theologian that said this, said the risen Christ makes life a constant celebration. Now, you guys don't see you every week. There is little celebration happening most of the time. Most of the time, it looks like you were here because you lost a bet. But this is supposed to be a celebration. In fact, in the early church, they had what was known as a Bright Monday. And Bright Monday was the Monday after Easter, and the congregations on a Monday after Easter would get together with their pastor, and they would prank each other, and they would laugh, and they would tell jokes. And then in the 17th century, Pope Clementine, he nixed it. He thought the people shouldn't have fun in church. And really what I learned about that Pope is he's just a party pooper. You know, and I think that's what's happened to us. We've all become Pope Clementine. And I'm happy to say this, that now there's been a resurgence of this idea of Bright Monday, only now it happens a Sunday after Easter, and it's called Bright Sunday, or Holy Humor Sunday. And a lot of churches are participating in that by just having fun and laughing. In fact, in the Greek Orthodox Church, there's a liturgy, a call to worship that some of the Greek Orthodox churches use. So we're going to do that. So if you'll stand, I'll do the leader part. You do the people part. Okay, now the key to this, you got the next slide, Levi? No, it's all messed up. Close it, I think. Right? Is it messed up or is it me? It's me? I'm messed up. We'll do it just by memory. You got to remember, there's supposed to be laughter and fun, including the brass section. Laughter and fun on this, okay? The leader says, now let us laugh. That's my part. Your part is, let us worship God by laughing together. Are you ready? Now let us laugh.
Let us worship God by laughing together.
Now see, the key to that is to actually laugh. I know it's Easter morning, and let's try. You can Google this if you don't believe me, by the way. Greek Orthodox, laughing. Go ahead, try again. Now let us laugh. Amen, go home. Sit down. So, those of you who know the biblical... Did you guys even participate? Now let us laugh. Yeah, you've heard it seven times. So those of you who know the story know that there was little laughing going on in the first century at the first Easter. Because starting on Thursday... Jesus has put a damper on everything. I mean, it was horrible. They're at a Passover celebration, which is fun. And all of a sudden, in the middle of this fun, Jesus stands up and he starts saying things like, I'm going to die, I'm going to leave you. Where I'm going, you can't go yet, but one day I'll come back for you. And the disciples are just looking at each other and the laughter just drained out of the room, right? And then after they celebrated the Passover, they sang a hymn, they had a prayer, they went out into the garden. And there in the garden, there was Judas, and Judas kissed Jesus, betraying Jesus. Then the arrest came, and then after the arrest came a beating, then the trial, then the sentence to death, then the actual death, then the burial, and no one was laughing. It was not a good time. It was not fun. In fact, I want to read to you how John describes it. It won't be up on the screen, so just stay with me. This is how John describes in the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. Now, those of you who are around here know that one of the things I always try to teach you is when you're reading John's gospel, you can never take anything at face value. There's always something going on that you have to figure out. And what I had to figure out was when John was saying it was dark, he wasn't just trying to punish clergy by having to get up at 4 o'clock on Easter morning for a sunrise service. He was actually talking it was dark. It wasn't about the time. It was a dark moment in their lives. Have you ever been in that sort of darkness where nothing is going like you want it to go and you are just... Your whole mood, your whole existence is just best described by dark. You ever been there? Mary was there. And in the 20th chapter, 11th verse, we get this. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb because it was dark. And she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." And when she said this, she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, Mary said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will go to him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni." She was in the dark. And it wasn't because it was 5 a.m. dark. She's in the dark because she had lost someone very important to her. Her whole world came crashing down. And she was in this incredible grief. And when Jesus said to her, "Mary," all of that changed. Because Jesus reminded her that his death doesn't have the last word. He spoke to her a word of hope. And a beacon of light, just a shimmer of light, began to shine into Mary's life. Now, if you've ever lost someone, if you've ever stood at a grave of a loved one, of a spouse, of a child, of a parent, of a grandparent, of a friend, and you've been filled with grief, you know that darkness. And maybe for you it's not that. Maybe your grief is over the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, that marriage that you thought was in heaven, was made in heaven, ends up divorce. That sort of loss, if you've ever experienced that, you understand Mary's darkness. And you know, just like Mary knew, there is no laughter in that kind of darkness. And my prayer for you, if you're here this morning, you're one of those folks who have just in that darkness, either have been or are or maybe going to go through it, but the resurrected Jesus has a word for you. He calls you by name, and he reminds you that whatever you have lost, whether death or marriage or whatever, death doesn't have the last word. Divorce doesn't have the last word. Cancer doesn't have the last word. That God always has the last word. And what Jesus offers at that moment to you, right here, right now, he offers you a word of hope. And when he offers you that hope, there's this shimmer of light that can shine into your life. And you'll remember the light shining in the darkness. The disciples experienced a dark time. John's Gospel, verse 19. And it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said, "Peace be with you." Now, they weren't locked away because they were grieving. I mean, they were sad, but that's not why they were locked away. They were locked away because they were afraid. Now, their darkness was one of fear. Now, if you've ever been afraid, I mean really afraid, you know there's no laughing in that darkness. If you've ever been afraid to call the doctor's office back because you know that the results of the test just aren't going to be what you want them to be, there's nothing funny about that. If you've ever been afraid because your company is downsizing again and you know they're downsizing, then you get an email inviting you to come to a special meeting, you understand the darkness of that fear. If you've ever wondered how you're going to make ends meet, the bills keep coming but the money's gone, you get that. You understand. Maybe some of you are going through right now that fear, that just gut-wrenching that you feel in the very bottom of your stomach and in the core of your being, and you don't know what to do, so you lock yourself away. Well, the resurrected Jesus came to those disciples, and the resurrected Jesus can come to you if you're sitting in that sort of darkness right now, and he'll offer you the words that can change your life, the words that he spoke, shalom eklahim, peace be with you. And he didn't say it once, he said it twice. And then he did the most amazing thing. He breathed life into these disciples. They were still afraid for their lives, but no longer were they afraid to leave the room. Things, scary things don't go away, but all of a sudden they were filled with the peace that passes all understanding, and they had life, and they knew they weren't alone. So if you're in the darkness of fear, and you're one of those people, the resurrected Christ, the resurrected Jesus, the resurrection reminds you that he has two words to say to you. Shalom Eklahim, peace be with you. And you'll be filled with that peace, I promise. Scary stuff will still be there, but it'll be somehow different. Maybe it's not grief, or maybe it's not fear. Maybe you're like Peter. I'm not even going to read this one. Maybe you're like Peter. Peter, if you remember, was one of the disciples, and he had pledged to Jesus, I will die with you, Jesus. I will die with you. And then on the moment of truth, the night that Jesus was trialed and was crucified, some woman came up to Peter and asked him, "Hey, are you with this guy?" And not only did he say, "No, I'm not with him," he denied ever even knowing him, not once, not twice, but three times. And then, according to John's Gospel, it's a beautiful story. Jesus is cooking breakfast on the beach, and Peter is in the boat, right? And Peter sees that it's Jesus, and he jumps over the boat, out of the boat, into the water, and swims to the shore. He had seen Jesus one other time since the resurrection. He had seen him with the other disciples. There has yet to be the one-on-one meeting with Jesus. Breakfast was over, and Jesus said to him those words I'm sure Peter just didn't want to hear. "Peter, let's take a walk. I have to have a conversation with you." Here's this man, Peter, pledged his loyalty to the very ends of hell. He would go with Jesus. Then in the moment of truth, he denied him. And I have to believe that Peter was in the dark, not because of grief, not because of fear, but because of shame and a guilt and regret. And you know what that feels like, because every one of us have been there. And it is nothing to laugh about. You just hate it, especially when you have to confront the person or the person confront you. And here Jesus comes to Peter and he asks him, "Do you love me?" "Yes, yes, Jesus, you know I love you." "Do you then feed my sheep?" "Do you love me?" "Yes, Jesus, you know I love you." "Then feed my sheep." "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you." "Then feed my sheep." Jesus asked him three times. And when he asked, he didn't ask him to make Peter feel worse than they already felt. He felt like, He was telling Peter, "I'm not through with you yet. I still can use you. And on a beach, a few days after the resurrection, Peter was restored and given new life. And he was reminded that there was nothing he could do that would ever make God love him less. And if you want to know the rest of the story, you can read about Peter. And when they went to put him to death, they were going to crucify him. And this man who was filled with shame and regret and guilt looked at his accusers and said, "I am not worthy to be crucified as my Lord." And tradition tells us he was crucified upside down. It's April Fool's. It's a day of laughter, day of pranks, day of jokes, and I hope you have filled with them today. I hope you get pranked all day long. I hope you prank people. I hope there's laughter in your car, laughter in your house. I hope it's nothing but fun. But here's the reality. That left-handed whopper, as fun as it wasn't real. It didn't exist. It wasn't true. But the resurrection, that is true. It's not a trick and it's not a prank. It is real, and it is real, and that is important in this world, because let's just be honest, we live in a world that there's a whole lot of stuff that's not very funny going on, and we need the resurrection to be real. I don't know about you, I have to have it. When I'm in the darkness in those moments of grief where I stand at the grave of a loved one, when I think about those who are no longer with me, and it is dark, I need to hear Jesus remind me that death never has the last word. I need that. The resurrection gives me that. And I have to have the resurrection be true. It can't be a prank. It can't be a guess. It has to be real. Because when I'm afraid and not sure where I'm going or what I'm doing, and I don't know what my next step is going to be, and I'm afraid to take it, I need Jesus to say those words to me, "Shalom Echlahim, peace be with you." And then I need him to breathe life into me. And that's the resurrection. And I need the resurrection to be true, because there are too many times in my life I am shamed and filled with regret and guilt. And I need Jesus to whisper and to remind me that there is nothing I can do that will ever make God love me less. And that only happens because of the resurrection. This thing is real. The resurrection reminds us that death doesn't have the last word. It reminds us that grief doesn't have the last word. It reminds us that hate and fear don't have the last word. It reminds us that sin and greed and anger doesn't have the last word. What the resurrection reminds us is that God always has the last word. And the last word for God is always a word of grace and a word of hope and a word of peace. And in my mind, the last word, when God speaks that last word, I just picture God just laughing. His head tossed back and a laughter like you've never heard before. Because you know why? Because God knows the end of the story. Let me give you the end of the story. Let me save the mystery for you, just in case you don't know. At the end of the story, God wins. Love wins. That's the resurrection. And so God not only has the last word, God has the last laugh. Because the last thing God's going to say, and he's going to laugh when he says it, is "Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." And that's the resurrection. And that's the gospel. And that's why we're here. And that's what we celebrate. If you'll stand. And with laughter and with joy and with celebration, let's be alive for just a moment. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And now is the time to laugh. We're so glad you're with us. If you'll receive this benediction, and now may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. May the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, nothing, to ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow, you're nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine for a moment what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.